I'm a part of a prayer evangelization program called Transformation Hawaii. And we've seen some great things happen within the last few years because of prayer.
I am not a member of Transformation Hawaii. I am not a member of the International Transformation Network. I have participated in some of the events, as I stated, because they share some of the values and the tenets of my basic Catholic Christian belief.
We're one body of Christ. We're one church. And we're all here to disciple the nations, here in Hawaii and everywhere else. And I want you all to know that. On behalf of the people of Hawaii, I extend a special greeting of aloha to, first of all, Ed and Ruth Savosio, and everyone gathered for the 19th Annual International Transformation Network Global Conference at the Hilton Hawaiian Village.
Pastors, sanctify your people!
Pastores, santifiquen a su pueblo!
You go and you tell them if you have any idols in your home, we're going to burn them.
Díganles a la gente si tienen ídolos en su casa, los vamos a quemar.
You have any witchcraft items in your home, you bring them Sunday, we're going to burn them.
Si tienen cosas de hechicería en sus hogares, vengan el domingo y los vamos a quemar acá.
We're not going to have witchcraft in this church.
Welcome to Transformation Hawaii.
Hawaii was the first, I prophesied, would be the first Christian state in 1992 in the Aloha Bowl.
In his 1999 book, Hardcore Idolatry, Facing the Facts, evangelist C. Peter Wagner describes how his close colleagues Cindy Jacobs and Ed Silvoso, during an evangelism campaign in the Argentine city of Resistencia, instructed their followers to gather up and burn supposedly idolatrous objects, including Catholic saints, Books of Mormon, totem poles, and native art.
In the spring of 2005, Hawaii Lieutenant Governor James Duke Iona starred in an ad for the International Transformation Network's first major Hawaii conference.
On May 20th and 21st, people of Hawaii, I invite all of you to come to the Neil Blaisdell Center to experience God's movement here in Hawaii. Transformation Hawaii is truly an experience that you'll never forget.
Transformation Hawaii is based on the concept of prayer evangelism as described in the book of the same name by Ed Silvoso.
The movement is happening, the movement is going, and we all need to be a part of it.
In 2006, violating state ethics rules, Iona accepted over $7,000 in gifts to fly to Argentina and attend evangelist Ed Silvoso's 16th International Conference on Nation Transformation.
Global needs are presented and kingdom alliances are formed.
I welcome everybody who's willing and who thinks they want to partner with us.
Bring your spirit upon the people and the residents of Mardi Plata.
It's taken me 9,000 miles approximately away from home to understand what is happening in Uganda, what is happening in Argentina.
If you have a problem with rats, you have a problem with rats. But the problem is not the rats, it's your garbage. If you get rid of the garbage, the rats are clever enough not to come. As the church begins to get rid of its garbage, as we begin to say neither Jew nor Gentile, you know, neither Catholic nor Protestant nor whatever, as we begin to say neither apostle nor prophet, nor but one body, one faith, one Lord, you know, as we begin to think of the body rather than the ministries, then God begins to work in our life in the area of gender reconciliation and family reconciliation. It's my extraordinary privilege today to cede the microphone to a pastor of one of the most dynamic, powerful movements that is sweeping not only these islands but the world. I remember the day that I was invited to be a speaker at the hymn conferences, and I sat across from Wayne Cordero, who was still a pastor in Hilo, and he began to share the dream. I'm going to come here. We're going to do this. And today is here Pastor Elwin Ahu, who is taking over the pastoral duties at that church, and he will address the issue of gender and family. Would you welcome the man of God who comes? Come on. Let's give him here. Bienvenido. Welcome, brother. Brother, feel free. As the Lord leads.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Aloha. People often ask me, what do we call you? Because I was a lawyer, then a judge, and now a pastor. I say, you call me whatever you want, because there are guys in jail calling me whatever they want anyway, so it doesn't matter. But that's my question for us this afternoon when I talk about reconciliation of families. Let me ask you a question. Who are you, and what are you doing here? Who are you, and what are you doing here? Reminds me of a story of a Jewish rabbi. Was in deep thought one day, walking through the wilderness in a snowy, blustery day. The wind was blowing. He was pulling up his cloak, trying to keep warm, but he was in deep thought to himself. Didn't realize that he approached this Russian border guard, and his guard was standing there trying to protect his territory. And as that rabbi got closer, the guard shouted out, "Halt! Who are you? And what are you doing here?" Rabbi looked up at the guard. And he said, "You know, would you repeat that question to me again?" Guard was a little flabbergasted, and he says, who are you? And what are you doing here?" Rabbi said, "How much do they pay you, young man?" The guard said, "Well, why are you asking me that?" The rabbi said this. He said, "I will pay you twice as much if you will ask me that same question every day. Who are you? And what are you doing here?" I ask you that question today as we talk about reconciliation of the families, because many times we forget who we are, don't we? And we've allowed so many other factions in the marketplace to define who we are as man and woman, as husband and wife. Rather than being those who should be in the marketplace redefining what the marketplace is all about. We've allowed Hollywood to define the values that we hold dearly to our hearts. To the point where Sex and the City and Desperate Housewives are no longer television shows. They're realities within our community. We've allowed ourselves to lose the foundation upon which God has given us to establish ourselves as families. When I was a lawyer, I had a case where a grading contractor, they're responsible to pull out all the debris and all the grub and the trees to make way for this beautiful hillside subdivision.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I thought I would play you a bit of the Reverend or Pastor Ahu, Ewan Ahu, and Action Minister, or whatever you would title him, as he called himself, Lieutenant Governor / Pastor, Minister, Prophet Duke Iona. Now, I play that, and we're going to try to balance this conversation today and in the next hour. And I don't know Ige's religious problems, hang-ups, or beliefs, but I wanted to remind us all that I'm fearful of any man or woman or child or rock or stick, whatever it is that tells me that they're going to deliver me to God and deliver an entire state to God and all of those things. So it bothers me. And in this conversation, I've invited Mr. Bruce Wilson of Talk to Action, and wanted him to share some of the things that he has found and over the years observed through the action of Duke Iona in the capacity of Lieutenant Governor, at the same time parallel to that as being a religious advocate for Transformation International. So, Bruce, good morning and welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Carol. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and I might add, those of you that are having a little difficulty in listening to this, tune in to KWAI 1080 AM on the internet, KWAI 1080 AM on the radio, and you can pick it up live there. And later on, 524-1080 is the phone number if you have a question or comment, 524-1080. Okay, Bruce, go ahead and share with us, and thanks for sharing that sermon or piece with Pastor Ahu and Mr. Iona.
sure, it's my pleasure. And I have to say, a couple of months ago, when I think we talked, and it had been bugging me. I just searched of Elwin Ahu on my computer files, and nothing really popped up. I knew there was something, and I thought, oh, was he at that 2009 conference? And pictured the videos, and lo, there he was.
Mm-hmm.
And in some context to what your listeners just heard of Pastor Ahu, he used the word marketplace a couple times there. Now, that's an Etzel-Voso term in terms of the way Elwin Ahu was using it.
Mm-hmm.
Etzel-Voso uses the word marketplace. What he means is basically everything outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
And Etzel-Voso's big deal is that he encourages people to be ministers in the marketplace wherever they are. So if you're Duke Iona, you're a minister in the marketplace. And the marketplace is government. And if you are a business person, the marketplace is your business, and so on. So it's really a totalistic concept. And, you know, there's nothing specifically wrong with the idea, except that when you get people in government who think it's their job to spread their religion through their position in government, that can really be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, now leading up to, before Elwin Ahu spoke at that, Elwin Ahu speaking at the 2009 International Transformation Conference in Hawaii, I forget which convention center they had it at, but they
Blaisdell?
May have been Blaisdell. I think it was a smaller venue. Anyway, so...
In Hilton Hawaiian Village or...
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. So, this conference of Duke Iona was there, and he was a featured speaker. And when, to paint a picture in your listeners' minds, you imagine there's Duke Iona up on the stage, and he's... talking about the need to disciple all the nations of the world in Hawaii, and here in Hawaii and everywhere else. And as he's saying this, he's jabbing his finger forcefully to make the point. And then Etzel-Voso gets up and they hold a ceremony where they bless and anoint Duke Iona. And if you've ever seen it, it looks eerily similar to the blessing and anointing of Sarah Palin that popped up. The footage of that popped up in the 2008 election. Somebody found it from a 2005 ceremony at one of Palin's churches. And the reason it looks eerily similar is that it's the same movement, literally, the same identifiable movement. It's called the New Apostolic Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a term people can key on the Internet and find quite a bit about. There's a great... Terry Gross did a... In 2011, she did two shows devoted to the movement that are very very enlightening.
Mm-hmm.
So Iona is at this 2009 conference. Elwin Ahu is there, and also Pat Francis, a woman named Pat Francis. She's Canadian, a businesswoman and an apostle of this movement. She's there, and at one point during the conference, she and Etzel-Voso co-lead a really frenzied ceremony in which Pat Francis starts shouting about, first she shouts about casting out demon spirits, and then she goes into talking about how we in our church, and you as God, we your church, we stand on guard, and we put our foot on Hawaii, and you said that every place we put our foot, we shall rule. Now, in the audience, a video of this, and actually, you, Carol, confirmed it. There's Cam Cavasso, the Republican nominee for running for Senate in 2010, who was to run for Senate in 2010. So you've got, the future 2014 GOP nominees for governor and lieutenant governor, and one of the and a candidate GOP nominee running for U.S. Senate seat. All there at this conference, which is really, I would call it blatantly theocratic. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what Pat Francis was talking about. That's not about democracy.
Right.
Really. And I also know this from Ed Sollozzo's writing. When Duke Aona says he wants to disciple Hawaii, well, Ed Sollozzo defines in his 2007 book, Transformation, what discipling means. And Ed Sollozzo gives examples of what discipling means. And he says, discipling is something that the Roman Empire did to its subject colonies, territories. It's something that Lenin's Bolsheviks did to Russia. It's something that the Red Guard during the Cultural Revolution under Mao, it's something they did to China. And it's also something that the followers of Ayatollah Khomeini did in Iran after the Iranian Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the four examples that Sollozzo gave for what discipling meant. And I'm presuming that Duke Aona read his book because Aona was, he was joined at the hip with Ed Sollozzo's movement to the point that he contributed a chapter to the book, Catch the Wave of Transformation, I think was the title, and it was put out by the Hawaii affiliate of Ed Sollozzo's International Transformation Network.
Right.
But anyway, this is the background. And, you know, obviously, it's not as if El Wanahu was saying anything particularly offensive in that talk of his, but the mere fact that he's there speaks volumes because, in my experience, I've been watching Ed Sollozzo's conferences. I've looked at a bunch of them. He has one of these every year. One does not get invited to speak at one of Ed Sollozzo's conferences unless one is on his team actively.
Right.
I've not found a single example of, because what these conferences are, they're not conferences in the sense of, you know, academics going to a conference. They're really pep rallies for people in Sollozzo's movement because, you know, they're very much in the minority, but they're utterly committed and working really hard to implement these Christian rule over government and society.
So,
but it's alienating. So they have to get together every year, and it boosts their morale.
Right.
And that's one of the main functions. So it's not about, so the only people who go are people in the movement.
Yeah.
So that's the fact that El Wanahu is there indicates to me very strongly that he is part of this movement, if quietly so.
He is quite involved in this movement, and I want to make sure that my listeners out there don't go away with the conclusion or with the impression that this is about politics and partisan politics. I remind them that Norman Sakamoto, former state senator, Gary Okino, who was a city council person, that was here and was voted out. And again, it's not just Iona. In Elvin Ahu's sermon that he's giving that I played, there's Republican Gene Ward, who came here on the doorsteps of the coattail of the Pat Robinson movement. So I don't want anyone to send me an email to say that I'm picking on Iona. I just want to make sure that do your research. You take upon yourselves, listeners, to go to the Internet, and you can see. And if it's all false, then contact Sollozzo and tell him that he is lying on Iona and depicting him and others in a way that they shouldn't, representing that he is a part of this movement. But Iona lends himself and his state office has to Sollozzo in the past. And Museveni, the first lady, there's video of her laying hands on Iona. And so that's where I become interested and concerned. And Ahu talks about family and marriage and what have you. And I have to submit, maybe he would be qualified as one of the best counselors. He's been married 3 times. So, damn, he should be able to, any problem you come up in a marriage, he should be able to tell you blindly how to get it and maneuver those problems in life. And I just think that in itself, wanting to get into government. And mind you, this was 2009 now, right? That sermon. So look, they don't lose sight of the state office. They don't lose sight of the political position and the political powers. So it bothers me from that aspect, from that angle. As far as the same sex and marriage and what have you, he states openly that is why he, being Ahu, that is why he was motivated, SB1, to get into this race. Because, and he talks about Hollywood taking over and having, this is all nonsense and basically hatred. And alarming, because where does he stop? He's talking about destroying Bibles, idols, and anything else. But go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, well, there's something that's been on my mind, and I actually have a piece that I've been writing about. I'll probably put it out tomorrow. But back on October 10th, there was published a quite interesting op-ed in the Washington Post by media critic Paul Waldman. And it was titled something like, How Media is Enabling GOP Crazy. And I'm not saying this, as you mentioned, to specifically pick on Republicans, but what's really notable to me is that this stuff we're talking about, Iona being at this conference, that was very public back in 2010 when Iona was running for governor. So this is nothing new. What is new, however, is the revelation that Ahu was at this 2009 conference too. So the fact that these two guys are running together, they were at the same theocratic conference. Mm-hmm. That's not chance. it's people in Hawaii media have written that, well, Duke Iona is really toning it down. And I'm sure he would do so because, the revelations of his ties to Ed Sollozzo's International Transformation Network back in the 2010 election, those hurt him. Mm-hmm. So of course he's toning it down now. But, this is a guy who back in 2006 flew, I don't know what it is, from Hawaii to Buenos Aires in Argentina. It's a long way. He flew to Buenos Aires for one of Ed Sollozzo's conferences, and the Hawaii affiliate of Ed Sollozzo's International Transformation Network, they paid for it. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but Transformation Hawaii, somebody wrote an op-ed, which is posted on their website, specifically rebutting, I mean, even me, various points I'd made about Duke Iona and Ed Sollozzo's movement. And they say specifically, no, he didn't go to Ed Sollozzo's International Transformation Network conference in 2006. And what they're doing there is it's a lawyerly parsing of words, because Ed Sollozzo changed the name of this conference. It used to be called something like the International Institute for Nation Transformation. And he changed the name. So it's a different conference, they're claiming.
Right.
Same thing. Same cast of characters, same crew. But in this op-ed by Paul Waldman, he made the observation that, well, at this point, media people in media have two sets of standards for statements coming from Democrats and statements coming from Republicans. The Republican Party has veered so far to the right, and I would say in a religious right direction too, that the media started ignoring statements from Republican candidates that simply seem, as Waldman put it, crazy. They just ignore them, these statements, unless the statements might have a bearing on whether the candidate gets elected or not. And that's the only standard. And so they ignore all of these weird and apparently crazy things that Republican candidates are saying. And you don't get this sort of language from the Democratic Party.
Well, in Hawaii we do. There's Mufi Hanuman, I want to make sure that we when we talk about these issues and concerns, that we we're equitable in our distribution of comments. And here in Hawaii, the Democrats are just as suited for this transformation. They're just silent. And to just sit there and know that Iona violated the policies and the ethics, and Iona brought in these people and mixed his government role with that. They did nothing. But they being, you know, in, as you presented to me some documents where Gary Okino was talk about, he was at Silvoso's gathering in Argentina and saw six or eight men raised from the dead.
so they really thought that they had things wrapped up in 2010 because they had people in both the Republican and Democratic parties, and they had Mufi Hanneman, who's been to quite a number of Ed Silvoso's events,
mm-hmm.
and well, I found footage back in 2009 of Silvoso talking about how great it was in Hawaii. They pretty much had things wrapped up because both the Democrat and the Republican were in the kingdom, meaning part of the movement. And what Silvoso was referring to was that Mufi Hanneman ran for the Democratic gubernatorial nomination in the primary. He didn't win, but he was running, and they thought he had a chance. So they were anticipating that, so they would have had, you know, Iona versus Hanneman, and it would have been cinched.
Would have been hands down, but then the other Gentile or whatever, the other Democrat, Abercrombie, threw a wrench in that system. So,
yes.
You know, and we have to be mindful and watchful of this here in Hawaii because it's all, you can't tell one from the other. I mean, there's Gene Ward and there's Iona and then there's Hanneman and there are others. The Norman Sakamoto, he appeared in also. The video boasting about Transformation International, remember? And so Hawaii dishes up a strange set of bedfellows, but one thing, and they're partisan in politics, but they're one in the Lord, if I borrow a quote from them.
I'm sure that they're one in basically mixing church and state liberally, especially when people aren't looking.
Right. I just two, 3 weeks ago, I was out in Laie talking about Hanneman and religion and government. Here, I just discovered one main grocery store won't sell booze because of it, where its location in a predominantly Mormon community. Those things worry me. As a free citizen, I believe that we should not be influenced by religious parties and partisan politics mixed, because there are some of us believe in just freedom and we go and pray and believe in what we want to believe in. And I don't want that impact
personally.
Sure. But go ahead.
So, you know, where I was going with mentioning that op-ed by Paul Waldman in the Washington Post, so Waldman made this case that there are two sets of standards. Okay, one set of standards for Democrats and another for Republicans. Although in a sense they're similar because media is making newsworthy statements from either party that might hurt their respective candidates. Okay, well, I got to thinking about Elwin Ahu and Tuka Iona at this 2009 theocratic conference. And realize, well, this actually goes quite a bit further. If you, I don't know if you can put a link to this speech I mentioned by Pat Francis. I've got the video of it, and it's really quite astonishing to listen to her. It sets a new standard. I don't know of any example in mainstream media, certainly stateside, of anything like this that would be associated with a candidate running for governor. Nothing. This isn't a class by itself. This is a woman sort of nakedly declaring that, you know, we're going to put our foot on your state. Our movement is going to put our foot on your state. So I emailed some people in Hawaii media to say, who had covered this in the past, to say, hey, I found something new. I found out that Elwin Ahu is really, to my mind, in this movement too, and here's my evidence. here he is at this conference along with Duke Iona and all the rest, and it's Silvoso. So you know what they told me?
Mm-hmm.
The response I got was, well, you know, it's very interesting and all true, but we're not going to cover it because they're probably not going to win. I don't know what my comeback is.
Yeah, what do you say to that? You discovered in one effort that there's a crystal ball, and you now know who's going to win, but you still don't get it addressed, and they wouldn't carry any write an article, do a feature, or do anything, huh?
Exactly, and so I'm writing a piece, and I'll put it up, you know, wherever I can, the Huffington Post or places I have access to talk about this, and to my mind, the absurdity of not raising this issue, because, you know, I'm half convinced they have some secret trick to put them over the edge. No, I mean, they don't, but Woody Hammond was, it would seem, part of the strategy. He running as independent. I think they miscalculated a little bit because he seems to be it seems to me he might be hurting Iona more than helping him in his independent bid, but still, he's part of the mix. So I have to figure that there's a strategy going on here, and maybe at the last minute, they'll pull something out.
I think one thing I'd add is that on Ige's website and his campaign website, he declares that he's Buddhist. So for those of you out there, I want to make sure that nobody thought I was avoiding looking at what his religious beliefs are. But I've never, and I've not seen everything that he participated in, but I've not seen him tell the rest of the world that we should change and bring everyone in the state of Hawaii and turn it over to God or whatever, you know, that scares the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, and you know, there, Ellen Ahu, he was a junior pastor at, I believe, at Wayne Cordero's New Hope Metro, I think that something like that, in Honolulu, it's a huge church. And then Wayne Cordero's New Hope Church has spun off a bunch of satellite churches, of which Ahu's church is one. Well, one of the churches in this network was actually named in that lawsuit last year that was filed by Mitch Kahale, a colleague. Did you recall the one that...
Mitch Kahale.
Kahale, yeah. He filed a lawsuit against five or six churches for renting out public school space on the weekends for their services, and the charge was that the amount they're paying was way, way too low. So this was actually costing the state a lot of money. And the state was, in effect, subsidizing these churches.
Mm-hmm. And that speaks to, and there's a caller they call in. I'll get him if they'd hold on. There's an example right there where I say also the blame is to be laid squarely in the lap of the Democrats here in the state as well, because they have an obligation. They know how broke we are. They know the conditions of our schools. So you would think the cost of electric and all of that goes up, and if these churches are using this facility, then the public should be fairly compensated. So there's an example of what I alluded to, is that the Democrats are just as guilty, though while the others are trying to deliver us to God, the Democrats sit back and sit silent. So they're just as guilty. And so that's, I want the world listening out there to take away that this isn't about Duke Iona's belief, because he has that right. He has to do whatever he wishes. But when it becomes lopsided and then it migrates into government and finds its way by invitation, I become alarmed and concerned. Hold on, let's see if what this caller has a comment.
Sure.
Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, I've been listening to your the caller that's on. Is he a guest or is he a caller?
He's a guest.
Now, what's his name?
Bruce Wilson.
Bruce Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Talk to Action. TALK2Action.net.
Well, I didn't catch him identify himself. I'm calling basically, if people call in and start talking and slanting other people, it is unfair if they don't identify who they are.
That's assuming that you must have drawn in late because I told you who he was on
there.
So we can't go off and make statements and leave them hanging as if they're facts.
I'm calling about.
Okay, I understand, but I did tell the listeners that it was Bruce Wilson.
Okay, thank you. No problem.
Thank you. Any other comment on that, or you have when you say his?
Oh, well, we actually for more identification, Carol.
Hold on. I want to address and give the caller an opportunity to address this quote slant. That's different from him not identifying himself. If you could briefly, what are you suggesting that the slant?
Oh no, what I heard he was talking about. Transformation, supposedly, or whatever. A guy's name and everything.
Silvoso, Ed Silvoso.
Yeah. Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm getting at is unfair to be talking about and naming these people, basically, and not identify who you are. But you said you did, so.
Yeah, when we introduce an argument such as this, we gravitate back to nonsense, and I don't like nonsense.
No.
I understand you can be guarded against nonsense coming over the airwaves, but if it's relevant, if it's important,
I'm not talking about the nonsense. I'm talking about the other party not being able to defend themselves.
Well, no, they can defend themselves. Yeah, they can defend themselves, and I think that I can go back to many shows that you call in and
a lot of these people that he's addressing right now are in the house of the Lord right now. They can't be calling on your station on Sundays. Okay.
Well, they can, and the Lord is everywhere, right?
Yeah, he's everywhere.
Right, he's in the studio, so he's everywhere. So the point is, let's not gravitate to that level. It's if they want to call in, as you know the policy of this show, they're free to call in and participate or later call in and come into the studio and offer their comments or opposition or objections.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think the point for me is that Iona and Delmonahu are running for public office, therefore that they're open to scrutiny by the media.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. That's the way a democracy works or should work, that the media has a responsibility to tell the public about the candidates who are running. And I also want to add... I have another title that I've picked up since we last talked on. I'm working full-time for a national gay rights nonprofit, so
mm-hmm.
I do have a partisan perspective in that sense, and I'll freely admit it, supporting gay rights. But I do think that it's quite fair game to look at people who are running for public office, and also in this case, you could say that my perspective is partisan, but really what it amounts to is that I spent an absurd amount of time studying the movement that Iona and Ahu appear to be a part of, which I would add, and this is a nonpartisan point, this movement, you can go to Ed Silvoso's Transform Our World website. I believe it's www.transformourworld.org. And if you click on the resources section of the website, then there's a section for videos. You can find a profusion of Ed Silvoso's videos showing how his transformation efforts are going across the world, in Hong Kong, at least Singapore, Mexico, Argentina, Jacksonville, Florida. They've got one of these things going in Vallejo, California. They've got these so-called transformation initiatives going on all over the world. So, in other words, Hawaii is just, for Ed Silvoso's operation, Hawaii is just another experiment.
Yeah. Well, let's for the sake of the caller here, just to, if you'd like to call back and you're free to share your other thoughts, but from a perspective, my perspective, or just as a citizen, nothing to do with religious concerns, on the world stadium or stage, there are videos presented by Silvoso and his organization where it's quoting Duke Iona, as I played this morning.
Yes, yes.
That it took him to go to Argentina 9,000 miles, I'm paraphrasing him,
yes,
to learn and appreciate what they're doing in Uganda. Now,
yes,
if Duke want to call in or come in before the thing, I'll do a tape and play it next week. He can,
uh-huh,
we can.
Yes.
But the reality is, as a citizen now, not from a perspective of religious or politics, but as a citizen of these United States, knowing what Uganda's policy is toward gay people and people, not necessarily gay, but people that have AIDS or HIV, was beyond, below the human treatment. It stoops way down there in hell or somewhere. And he's telling, and he's going to represent on the world stage now. He becomes our governor, and he has refused to denounce such statements or denounce Uganda. And then here he is having hands laid on him by the First Lady of Uganda. Listeners, this isn't about politics and gay rights and same-sex marriages. This is about an American freedom where we must not allow the pool of freedom to be tainted by ridiculous behavior on individuals, period. Duke Iona,
yeah,
he can believe and preach as much as he wants to, and I'll go to war for him to protect that right. But when it creeps over into all of our democracy and common decency, I have a problem with.
Yeah, what interests me about that quote that you just quoted from Duke Iona, you know, paraphrased, is that that came from a video I found that was being put out by Ed Silvoso's ministry. And in the video, Duke Iona seemed truly enthusiastic. You know, he was gushing about how wonderful it was that he'd learned the true meaning of Ed Silvoso's transformation thing from what was going on in Uganda. Now, Uganda isn't really a shining model of democracy. Really, the president of Uganda, Yoweri Museveni, he's a dictator in all but in name, and his country has a rather awful human rights record. And from what I recall, Uganda has actually been going backward on some counts. The HIV/AIDS rate is rising because of government policies, discouraging condoms and so on, and promoting abstinence only. And actually, the income inequality has been rising too, and on and on. Uganda is a shining model, but it seems that, from my own statement, he really saw it as such. And you know, part of the reason is that there's a big section in Ed Silvoso's book Transformation about how Hawaii is being transformed, and Duke Iona is the star of it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a big section of how Uganda is being transformed in the same book.
Right.
So Ed Silvoso has these videos made, these they're like infomercials about what his movement is up to, and sometimes what they depict it has a lot of truth to it in terms of what they're doing. Sometimes it is almost wholly a con job. You never know until you look into it.
Mm-hmm.
But Silvoso has these operations, as I said, going on across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Hawaii is just one of his experiments, and he managed to hook Duke Iona into the project.
Did he, or is it just this is one thirsting for and wanting to participate and give, let their belief overcome them? I mean, I believe in things, but I believe in moderations, not to the point where I believe I should leave my house and project on others what I believe, and recruit them. And then, not being happy with that, I then move into government. And then invite all of the others that say they're going to put their foot on Hawaii, and wherever they put their foot on Hawaii, they're going to control.
another.
I'm sorry. That's a slanted statement, but damn it, that's the way it is. You know.
Carol, another is sort of vignette for listeners. Back in 2010, when I was writing about Iona and this International Transformation Network, and the conference by that name he was at, 2009 and so on, and the one you said in 2006. Well, I found the footage from Ed Silvoso's conference from 2008, and I have all the footage. I'm not sure, there might be hundreds of hours, but there's a lot. There's a whole week's worth of one presentation after another. So, and then they have special ceremonies in the evening, and there's some big names there. Janet Museveni sent her nephew and her daughter and an entourage of Ugandan government officials, and they're various people from, they had a big judge from Hong Kong and so on, just a smattering of people from all over the place. And at the ceremony, in one of these evening ceremonies, a woman named Cindy Jacobs, who's one of the top prophets in this new apostolic reformation movement, I don't need to go into details of where she fits into the structure, the organizational structure, but she's one of the top ones. And so at this evening event, and I posted this video, Cindy Jacobs is up on stage essentially conducting a mass exorcism of people's immoral spirits. You know, she goes into spirits of adultery and lesbianism and homosexuality, perversion, and she's casting them out from all these people in her audience. And either in the same speech or the next night, Cindy Jacobs starts instructing people to, when they come back the next day or next week, they're going to bring back all the evil and idolatrous objects in their houses, and this is, scripture from other religions, statues, art, and they're going to make a big heap and burn all this stuff.
Well, Well, let's talk about, and we're coming down to the last few minutes, the uterine doctrine. These guys want to, their stance on women's rights. Let's just set aside the gay rights, civil rights, and same-sex marriage. Let's talk about their stance on family, on birth controls and all of that. They're not clear on that. So, this party has been quite active, this Republican Party, in disrespecting and downplaying the rights of women. I stand to say that I'm concerned, not from a political standpoint, but what's to come. And I'm not even speaking to the election process, but wherever they are, even while they're not, they weren't satisfied with SB1 vote. They went down and raised a ruckus and saying that people didn't get represented. Well, damn, I thought this was a representative government. That's what that process was when they went in and vote. Each person was represented by their representative. But no, they want to go back and redo it, reinvent it. Democracy,
yeah,
the democratic process. So that's what I'm speaking to. I don't have one particular angle that I'm concerned with, but I look at it in totality. It's alarming.
Yeah, and in that video of one of the two videos of Ellen Aho I posted, he was, as you said, he testified against SB1. He was so struck by the patent injustice of it, the process as he saw it, that he decided to get into politics. So, in a sense, you could say, based on his own words, that Ellen Aho is a single-issue politician. He's there, apparently, to roll back gay rights, which is a heck of a platform. It's pretty narrow.
Now, interesting...
the platform is wider.
Right. Interesting enough, that same party that the two of them hailed from, there were questions about Obama's commitment to if he was a Muslim and what have you. And so the reality is it's okay to question the president's religious background and upbringing, and we're rolling out the red carpet for these guys that were critical. But as the caller said, it's a slant. Well, I know it's just a reality check. that, and I have a little checking list here that says I need to know, and I'm concerned, and I express these concerns. But, you know, they both tout themselves as being lawyers and judges, and which they were. And I wonder how much claim will they accept or to the disparity in sentencing of the minority folks and population here, the large population of Hawaiians being incarcerated that were for small amounts of drugs or paraphernalia and what have you. When will they speak to that? Will they speak to God and ask him a revelation or something? See, this is the kind of nonsense that they tell us what they want us to tell us, but I have bigger questions. You know, if they, where will we go if they bring in Itzel Voso and the transformation and delivering us to God?
Yeah, well, that's based on, you know, having studied the movement for several years, that the vision is for some sort of theocracy, but they're incrementalist. They won't move. They can't, obviously, they can't do that in Hawaii, where they stand right now. So, they're gonna, if Iona and Ahu are elected, they'll do what they can do. They'll get away with what they can get away with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we don't have the mechanisms in place that is mindful and watchful of this kind of behavior. It creeps into, you know, look at it. In 2009, we see them talking, and here it is 2014 with the elections, their names on the list to be elected.
Yeah.
Russ never sleeps, they say, right?
Yeah, well, they'll be back in another 2 or 4 years, whether Iona's running again, or they'll have somebody else to throw up, you know, maybe Ellen Ahu, because Ahu is, his profile is pretty similar to Iona. He's, you know, he was a judge for a while and had the law degree and then became a pastor. And, Iona isn't officially, but, you know, he could put on that hat if he needs.
Well, he boasts in his speeches and what have you, Iona, that his son is becoming a minister, and Ahu's son is becoming a minister, and that he ministers. I don't have the name of the church in front of me, but it is not about Iona. If it was Mickey Mouse in that position, I'd still have the same concerns, or Goofy, or whatever the problem is. But Bruce, how do people contact and follow your writings and publications? Where do they contact you, and can you give some information real quick?
Yeah, well, my website is www.talktoaction. That's a talk glued together to action with a number 2 in between them. So talktoaction.org. And if they want stuff I've written on Hawaii, they can just, there's a little search box up in the right of the website, and type Hawaii in there and hit the return button, and you'll get, it'll spit out a whole bunch of stories that I've written on Hawaii from, mostly from 2010. And I also write for the Center Against Religious Extremism, which is a project of Truth Wins Out, which is a gay rights nonprofit, but it's broadening out. It's agenda that. But anyway, that website is www.tocare.org. That's TWOcare.org. And so, and people can contact me through either website, I believe.
Okay. Well, we'll make a link to that, Bruce, and thank you. Is there anything else that we can pick up next time, or are you going to publish something here soon, right?
Yeah, I'm putting out a piece, and I'm not sure that there's more to be found about Ahu's and Iona's ties to this movement, because they've been pretty careful. You know, they had that big rally at the Blaisdell Center a couple of weeks ago, but they didn't let media in, no media, no cameras, and the name was generic. It was impossible to tell what was going on unless you were physically there.
Okay. Hey, Bruce, well, thank you for calling in, and we'll talk again.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Aloha.
Aloha to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher?
Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation would make a better society.
And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Aloha and good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We're talking about all kinds of things today. I want to thank my guest, Bruce Wilson from Talk to Action. And we're going to be talking about some education. And the education is, did you know that our schools are pretty much deteriorated? Many of them are slated to be repaired and all of that. And the governor, Governor Neil Abercrombie, Governor Lingle, all of the governors have allowed things to, I guess we'll call it deferred maintenance. And some of the things that I've been approached by a number of people to include employees of the schools, and some of them in capacities that, you know, as they always preceding their contact with me, is I got to be careful, I could be fired or retaliated against. But what I want to share with you folks today is there's something going on with our schools, and as soon as it appears the timing coincides with when the governor, Neil Abercrombie, learned that he was not going to be elected, or we learned that he wasn't elected, things turned on the... There was a program making an assessment. It was, as more specifically, it was a facilities master plan for the Hawaii Department of Education, and that was a contract let out by the DOE. And that contract sought to identify, in general, I'll say, walls that were needing to be replaced or removed, roofing problems, electrical wiring, an elevator over there at IAEA Intermediate, I'm told, I have to follow up on it, that was put in for ADA, and since its installation for 3 years, it has not been used. And dangerous conditions. Are you aware or familiar with, and some of you have some electrical background and what have you, but I've since learned that there are the federal, and I mean, this is scary when you consider what's out there, the danger that is presented by these electrical panels, the federal Pacific panels. And those of you that are involved in the internet or know how to access it, Google that, federal Pacific panels. And this study, it's not a study. I want to be careful in mislabeling. It's not a study. It's an actual, it was to get a master work plan so that we would address all of these potential dangers or things that were, we'll call it deferred maintenance in the schools. And this master plan was funded, there was about $6 million, and it started back in March. And this year, or actually last year, it was. I'll read off some of the specifics, some of my notes. But apparently, what the project was, I took some notes here, and the company doing this work was Jacobs Project Management Company. Company, they have an office here in Honolulu, but they're Texas based and Irvine, California based. Go ahead, Carly. You have a comment or question?
Oh, hi there, Carol.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Hey, you know, I am a supporter of you from day one. You know, and I've seen you on TV, and I go, oh, you go, man. But, you know, isn't it sad? They finally, that's the building about that dumping. And who the heck do you see, that politician?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't give you any credit. Where is it? That's the one you went there and you complained and nothing was done. This is the time Mufi was, I think, what, mayor?
No, would have been... But I understand. But
yeah,
know.
The dumping thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was your, you know.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying and all, but you know the thing is it's the politics. You can't control that, and I guess like anything, there are people going to take advantage of the moment, seize the moment.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So people just got to use their...
But you know. we use that to be reminded that is why I personally gravitate to looking at getting rid of these issues of illegal dumping in the communities, because I know factually that is why we're in this predicament. Politicians only get involved when there's a political point to be had. Or benefit,
yeah,
for themselves.
I know.
So, yeah, I appreciate that. And again, it's consider who it is that's putting this thing together when they patting themselves on the back. It's okay, because
yeah, Kimberly, I think.
Yeah, Kimberly Pine.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is, on that situation, before I discovered this material spill on the road and identify its origin, everyone was calling it dirt and cement and no knowledge of where it came from. So I made that deduction and followed it and knew where it was going and established that. But what, to my surprise, Kimberly Pine had already been informed of this weeks, almost a month before or longer, and wrote a letter saying, and there's a result that maybe they can use it, suggesting that they can use that material that was dumped there as agriculture. But in the spirit of being a good politician, and I can't take away from her, that she in turn was seized a moment and changed. And a politician is chameleonic anyway, right?
Not all.
Well, I mean,
majority of them. But anyway.
But I understand, and so don't give up the fight out there because.
Oh no. I always wanted you, but you know your show today kind of made my blood boil.
Uh oh.
Look, our president. He said he's going to transform America, and he sure did. You know, but
Well, transform in a failed policies.
That's more nasty than believing in God. Everybody has their own religion, and when you start talking about religion, it's just like politics. They said that's why they said don't mix it. But you know, this part of life, so people gotta use their common sense and don't let you know that Mr. Wilson. Who the heck him?
The more you hear him. Yeah,
Carol, I'm just a regular homemaker, hard worker, plantation girl, strong Democrat, but not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I come from the generation where, you know, we can open our doors, we help our fellow neighbors, we trust each other, we don't steal, we don't take, we ask permission, we say please, we say thank you, we have all that, you know, like, to death to us part, you know, that kind of one marriage kind of thing. But, you know, generation has changed.
When you mean one marriage, what do you mean?
No. Because like me, when I said my vows, I worked it out. I don't care because my mom said, don't you dare come home.
Right.
Made your bed, you sleep in it. They kind of say, and I appreciate, you know, because I grew up because my mom didn't, you know, baby us.
And that's a strong point, right? I mean, you believe that once you marry, you should stick it out, right?
Yeah, work it out because, it's wonderful. I mean, to today, my husband's still taking care of me, even though he's gone 27 years.
Right. Well, what about marrying two times? Is that okay?
Well, yeah, see, I'm more compassionate. I mean, I understand, you know, sometimes the first one won't work out. But if the second time along comes and it works out, even the third time. But the main thing, they're good people. They mean, you know what I mean? They're not, I'm allowed to say the word, they're not pilau, in other words. They mean well. It's just that life's really, I don't know, because I never lived their kind of life.
Well, we just have to say the religious conversations, people say you should never talk about them. But I did differ because, you see, there's a great difference when you move it to the government, when you start to incorporate that.
You cannot stop it.
Oh, yeah, you
because
can.
You cannot. Well, we can disagree.
No. Hold
no,
on.
You know why? Oh. No. Because Hege is a Buddhist.
Okay.
Yeah. So because he came out on television when they were debating.
Okay.
And I guess the question did ask, and he said he was a Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Obama, he's a Muslim.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, they're good and bad. But he.
And I understand that. And see, we're not evaluating the religion itself. We're looking at the religious people and their behavior. You see, when I am impacted by Duke Iona or my neighbor who believes in something and that then comes over into my property, into my life, because you believe in something, that's not religion. That has nothing to do with religion. That has to do we are individuals first, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so,
but we can use our own brains and common sense.
Right, so and within our brains and within our body, that's our boundaries. That's what we have right to. We have right to modify that, alter it, do anything we want to do with that body and that mind.
Right.
When you step outside of your earlobe and then start to preach, and then if the preaching isn't good enough, you then migrate into government so that you can take what's going on in your head and transpose it on others through government.
I wouldn't take it that serious.
Well, no, listen.
No, but it is a better example of what we have.
Well, no, I that's a very simple example. It's not complex. It's real simple.
But then how many years is the term going to be? You think you're going to transform? Well, if everybody want to be a Christian, well, go for it.
Four years in a human life is substantial.
But what about this guy here, what he's promoting, this Mr. Bruce?
He's not promoting anything. He's advocating.
Oh, but he's trying to diminish, that Iwana and everything.
No, I would be standing guilty for that, too. I mean, if you...
Yeah, you are guilty for your own. I know.
I am just as guilty if that is a crime. If that's an offense, but you see, that's the joy of being an American.
Right.
And being an individual. And I think when you go into a door or a house or a church or a rock, as they say, as a church, whatever, once you have a congregation within your mind or amongst others, you have that right. You hold hands and you pray and you do whatever it is.
Right.
I respect that. Right. My concern is when you leave that and part of your congregation and part of that discussion and sermon is to instill in you to go out and impact others' lives and dictate that they can't marry who they marry or black can't marry a white and what have you and you can't do these things. I say then, this isn't about religion. This isn't about belief. This is about control.
Since man was born, it was the same thing.
But we can't lend ourselves. We're a little more sophisticated than that because we have capacity.
I don't know. I think we're going backwards.
But no,
backwards. At one time, yeah.
But again, it for the believer in the standard religious practices, it detracts from what you believe in because it isn't consistent with what the teachings of the Bible is. I mean, some portions of it, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's a hard call because everybody has their own version.
Right.
When they interpret, yeah. But hey, you know, I mean, I enjoyed your program because I've learned a lot. You know, I'm all for environmental, but, you know, even you have your, your platform.
No, I have no platform.
Not platform, but your goals in what you do. You know, you're like in a good way, an activist, a watchdog. That I'm saying is a compliment. But if we didn't have people like you, we didn't know what's going on, right?
Yeah.
Because we're just regular people. That's why I love talk radio AM. Ever since I lost my husband, I've been on, every chance I get, I try to listen, and if it's really worth my time, I rearrange my schedule so I can learn. I've grown, I've learned, I really don't need, because I know who I am, where I'm going, I'm very successful in my own life. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I wish that for everybody to be happy, hardworking, don't take things for granted, you know, love your husband, love your wife, all these things, good stuff.
Love thy neighbor.
Everybody dreaming, you know, right. Because the main thing, everybody has to take charge of their own, because that's all you can do.
Let me share something with you, so maybe I can make this a little simpler.
Really? Another thing, you know your song?
Right.
Just before, that is good song.
Right, and
that was a good song. I don't know who did it, when it was made.
That was Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions, back. And funny thing is when people saw we as black people walking around singing to ourselves and dancing, they said, "Oh, you listen to that emotional music." When in fact most of the African American music has a message to it, and some people just didn't know that. We had a Gandhi mindset and a Martin Luther King mindset forever. It's just that we're portrayed differently. And
you know what?
Mm-hmm.
No, because a lot of the African American did bad things. That's why the real one.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Did bad things. Well, no.
Bad.
I don't know when you say we did, African Americans did bad things.
No, I saw PBS. There was a special about the Koreans when they first came here. Oh my gosh. All the African Americans, they used to be envious of them. They're hard workers. They had stores and everything. You know how they, help each other when they come from, it's like a hui. They used to make trouble and steal and, the trouble that they caused was what really sad to see. So
That's the version you've heard. But
I don't get a lot of good stuff.
Wait, I noticed now, if you are capable of telling me what you think and feel, and when I attempt to tell you what is reality, another side of the coin, you raise your voice, your tongue. Let me submit to you. There are many factors that come into play when you're a community that's been disenfranchised by the system. And then you move in and you have a store, and let's just say a can of soup. Can you imagine paying for a little can of Vienna sausage, paying $2, $3 for one, or $4 for one? These are the things and many other things that come in, and they take meat and things of that nature, not justifying the violence. But understand something, when you are as an African-American community, and then you're struggling, and then you see a person get off the airplane and migrate here, and they are able to come into the community, and you don't see the government doing anything to enhance the community. Now, I know some of you out there are going to say, well, that's because the black people tear it up. Well, if that's the case, then why are they migrating to America? Why don't they stay in their own native country and do good? Why? Why? Injustice is there too, right? And disproportionate
right? I come from the generation to plantation. We were so poor. I mean, poor. Like, I had only two dresses to go to school, that kind of stuff, that's the same thing to me, but at least my generation, I was real fortunate that, the neighbors, we all had that camaraderie. We trusted each other. We didn't think that, we kind of look after the kids. You know, everybody was family,
Right.
It's kind of lost now.
But there was a native people here that lived
here.
And we
were all immigrants now.
Right, I'm saying there was a native people here, and they were displaced, and today we find a great majority of them, a large proportion or number of them, sleeping on sidewalks and no homes. So I don't care to go to California and talk about black people and let's just stay here in this example, and we can see exactly what's going on, and then it may explain some of the frustrations. That may explain why some of the kids, local kids here, have mindsets of anger and frustration, because as I was going to start talking about the schools here, money is being slung around, but look who's being hired. Look who, take
the
example.
I know, the same old, same old.
You have Ige's wife works at Kanaloa Ani. I've got the name in there. She's an employee for the state schools. So it just seems that, and there are people here that have three or four jobs in government or two jobs in government. And others can't get any. So when we talk about justice and religious beliefs and all, let's be careful and not just listen to something and then...
No. That's why I like your show. Yeah. You get, other people come on your radio and speak their mind.
Yeah.
And then we make our decision because, hey, what else is out there, right? The choices?
Food for thought, and that's all I'm doing.
Exactly, food for thought. But
wouldn't you like to know that there is a Bruce Wilson out there? Wouldn't you like to know that there's a Carol Cox out there rather than having
someone? I guess so.
Wouldn't you like to know that wouldn't you like to know that there's a Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity out there talking?
Right?
Wouldn't you like to know of that because they're saying things that may not be beneficial to all people?
What we pick up, we're learning, it's kind of making us think.
Yeah. And yes. Let me share something with you real quick.
Yes. Sorry, I take your
time.
Actually, I was just going to call for the small little thing, but talking to you like I'm talking to a friend, you know?
Well, we are. And let me just share with you and other listeners out there. When you, as a watchdog is a very simple term let's understand something, the complexity of what's occurring here. Why I do that is not to show up on TV and putting my fingers there. Why I do that, to follow these things through as a, quote, watchdog, is to say the failed policies and the practices of government.
Right.
You understand? So understand when and also a relief mechanism that I serve when a state worker who's honest, when a city worker who's honest, when a citizen like you call up and have called the state agencies and the city agencies and nothing happened. I would, if I had my brothers, I'd like to be in Alaska filming somewhere or taking pictures, minding my own damn business. But the reality is, I know that there are communities that are not served well. So with my expertise and background, I investigate. They call me a watchdog, but in reality, which is a safe one because I don't want to be a lapdog. And you understand. And so
you're watching to see what the government doing the bad thing.
Well,
you know?
But I know that the kids in certain communities and seniors and just anyone, not knowing that, hey, that building there, it's a facade, but what's going on behind it is the hauling and storage of contaminants or chemicals.
Right.
So, and the failure of government to monitor it and regulate it. So when you see that, there's so much that...
You know, there are a lot of times I did call, you know, when I see an injustice on the TV, and I do call the station.
Mm-hmm.
They just will take your, you know, they can't do anything to me. It's the editors, the big bosses that control the reporters.
Imagine being a senior citizen having no money and just don't have the fight or to do it, and there's someone with slop dumping it, and you got to smell it all day long. And you've called the government, and the government tells you...
I'm the very one that cannot even stand third-hand smoking. You
right. Know. So... Yeah. So this is, if you know my background, it's environmental justice. And so it's the watchdog is just a title to, when you see that 1 minute, 15 second, and my 5 seconds of pointing at something. Don't be misled. There's so much complex.
Like I said, I'm taking it, I cannot think of the right proper word, but you know, I'm me. And so I'm just going to say what I mean, and I hope you don't be offended or anything. It's a compliment. I wouldn't be listening to your program.
Right.
I wouldn't be supporting you.
I agree
when
with
I go
you.
Out,
And I appreciate that. The trick is just know that it's about me as an individual. I, too, have a history of injustices projected on me. So I then know that it's easy for me to be convinced that you're being treated wrong because I know and have experienced similar things.
Right.
So I don't have to get involved every occasion. I know there's a reality of an injustice.
You have the compassion and, you know.
Yeah, because guess what? I mean, you
somebody got to do it.
Well, we all should do it. But
I know,
we
but
don't because we don't have the ability to, and there are some...
Well, I try in my own way, though.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I do when I'm out venturing out there.
Yeah.
I'm very vocal, but, you know, people just turn me off. They turn me off.
No, they don't. They trust me, you keep...
Yeah, I guess they are listening. Yeah, I know what you mean. They're listening, but they make like they're not listening. I get it.
Because, see, you will tell a friend, and, you know, for example, this recent pile of Pilikia trash down in Kapilani Park. Now, I knew the workers called me and told me about this, and they were concerned that they were being forced to do something that they knew were illegal because they had just attended classes. That they sign off saying, we know this to be illegal and this is what we're supposed to do under the Clean Water Act. So I also anticipated the mayor's office saying some nonsense. So what was the explanation? They sweep the streets, take those piles of trucks and dump it in the park and leave it there. What was the explanation? We're studying it. Well, you see, when you get that kind of response, that's when you know you've hit bullseye.
Right, right.
You, you understand.
Exactly.
And then when you see the mayor and his administration rush out to clean it up, wait, stop for a minute. What happened to the study?
I don't.
You understand. So
yeah.
Don't be fooled. This is about a community effort.
And don't mind me. You know, I'm kind of emotional. And when I say something, sometimes my voice, I raise my voice. I mean, I get scolding with my from my daughter.
Oh, don't worry.
You know, yeah, anyway.
Well, anyway, I'm going to go back to this subject. And
okay. Sorry, I took so much of your time, but
no,
you know,
I was going
to
say,
call.
You have any other information or comment?
Okay. No. Thank you anyway.
Don't rush.
I was there from day one.
Alrighty. Thank you, Laura.
I support you. And everything okay with your injuries and whatnot? You survived it, I guess.
No, you're talking to my me, myself, and I. So you're talking to myself today. I died.
All right. Okay. You take care now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Anyway, this study, so-called facilities master plan sanctioned by the state, and there's $6 million involved. They say that, these are notes that I have, a project to assess the condition and educational adequacy of Hawaii public schools and develop a long-range facilities master plan. Now, what that is to do is go in and look at the sidewalks, look at doors, look at asbestos, look at electric issues and concerns. And as I was saying, the federal panel that you definitely want to look at, many of our schools, I'm told, have these federal panels in them. And there has been legislation and money allocated to address specifically to remove these panels. And so this master plan was going to identify all of that. So they've paid Jacobs to do this. Well, since the Abercrombie administration got notice that it won't be in office very long, something strange happened. There's a work order, a stop work order was issued. There was a change order issued. Jacobs wanted $1.3 million to address something outside of the original contract. And I have the contract, pilot assessment contractor to fast track facilities assessment for up to 8 schools as a pilot for the overall facility master plan. These pilot assessments will include early policy planning support, CAD conversion and space. Building condition assessment. Contractor will perform building condition assessment. Schools facility, 67% of school facilities. These assessments will be conducted by as many as 6 assessment teams with as many as 3 assessors per team. One assessor will focus on the architectural systems, one will focus on the electrical systems, and the other will on mechanical and plumbing systems. Additionally, a civil structural assessor will focus on site items as required. The assessment will address building systems and identify current and near-term deficiencies. In addition, the assessor will collect life cycle data related to the fixed equipment inventory to project capital replacement requirements. And because I've spent some time on the other, I will just jump past some of this. But remember, this process is to go in and do 67% of the schools, and there's and actually the 280 schools they have a list of. Go in and look at all of these things. So if you saw a door, and the door had a life expectancy of 30 years or 25 years, the assessor would look at that door and say, well, it's been up here for, in some instances, 50 years, but it only has a 25-year life cycle. So you would think they would want to change that. Well, I'm informed that there's been discussion that these assessors were told to change the actual life cycle. For example, the federal panels that I talk about, they're circuit breakers, and they've historically have had problems and caused fires. And in Hawaii here, because they've put a lot of them in and they are installed in the schools, they at the earlier part, they were originally servicing a clock, a fan, a typewriter, something of that nature. But today they have audiovisual rooms and IT rooms and massive computers and what have you, draining from that same system. So our children are threatened in each of these schools where these panels are with fire or shock. And yet there is an actual form that each assessor has. And that assessor then goes out and looks at it and circles. And so let's say the panels have a 50-year warranty or life cycle. But if some of these schools have been built for 61 years or 60 years and older, that panel in itself, that circuit breaker, should have been removed anyway because they're unsafe. They've been, the company that manufactured them, falsified information and documents and represented they when they knew. They even used them, told a remote control to when being assessed by the government to certify these. They used a remote control to make them work. And so they were found to be flawed and poses a great fire risk. So these should have been removed a long time ago. And if you go and we're going to talk great details later on as we come along with this, you'll find on these forms, there's each assessor has forms that they fill out. And, for example, Federal Pacific Electric panels, the question is, do they exist? And they're saying, yes, they exist. And what should be done? Do they have half-life? And some of the people are saying, no, forget that. They shouldn't be in here, so they have no life. But the state of Hawaii and its administrators have tolerated the presence and forever allow these in. And if you look at some of the budgeting that has been done and allocation of money under IGE and the other members of the government legislative process, you will see they talk about specifically allocating money to take out transformers and panels. And yet these schools still have these panels. And anyway, the federal, this they have forms that they fill out, these assessors. And this Federal Pacific is right there in identified by name. Do they have these in here? So here is the concern. Now, they've been going along and the government has spent money and paid Jacobs to do this work. And they were just going along easy. And the original contract was $4,615,000. And they've spent some monies on project funds expended to date, $1 million. This was report done 10-7-2014. So here's the problem. Somehow, somewhere, somebody said, let's change our ways. And instead of going through, as I read you, the original contract, the company said, we want to be paid for assessing the conditions of the roofs because that wasn't in the original contract. There apparently an argument ensued or some discussion, and as a result, instead of resolving it and addressing it, a change order was, a stop work order, I should say, was issued on October 16, 2014. And remember I read to you the facilities master plan, that was the whole purpose of this? The state of Hawaii, DOE, Duane Kashiwai, Public Works Administrator, wrote to Jacobs and said, you and your subcontractors on this project are hereby notified to stop all work called for by this contract in accordance with the general condition of the contract. Section 12, suspension of contract. This stop work order will be effective October 20th, 2014, and will end up 60 days after this date of December 18th, 2014, unless both parties agree. On an earlier or later date, this directive is being issued because the Department of Education wants to resolve the following before any more work continues. proposed additional services authorization, ASA 003 HDOE. Additional services, the DOE rejects this additional service proposal since the work should be included as part of the original contract. Proposed, number two, proposed additional services authorization, ASA 004. HDOE roof assessment additional services. The DOE rejects this additional service proposal since the work should be included. So apparently, a DOE has a bone to pick with this company, Jacobs. So I'm informed, and this, I don't have all of the documents, but apparently this company, Jacobs, attempted to document, but if you know things are unsafe, and then you should speak up. And if you're a contractor, because if someone got hurt, it will eventually come out anyway. So there's a section in here where before issuing this work order, stop work order, apparently DOE and Jacobs in discussion, and they are told to ignore the life cycle of each component or each thing that they were looking at, doors, switches, windows, or what have you, and was instructed, and these are per Jacob's words, I'm giving a quote, Jacob's to, quote, push, end quote, all building components expected useful lives to an additional 25% level and noted, quote, as monitor, that have not failed but are still in serviceable condition. Note any complaints or observations of trouble by principals and custodians. Expired building components are typically considered unfunded, quote, deferred maintenance, end quote, under national definition. Jacobs to report capital renewal of building components over the forward life of 10 years. So in other words, if an item such as these panels should never have been in there, and they've been in there longer than a life cycle, someone in the DOE is telling this contractor to just go ahead and make representation or push it and put down that it has 25% life left. So all of a sudden, they've been working, spending millions, paying for these services that Jacob was performing for about a year now. Then in the flip of a switch, or the moment when someone gets emotional, or we learn Abercrombie has lost, somewhere, somehow amongst these guys, they have decided to go back to and just identify all of these components as having a life, even though they should have been removed, or they may not even had a more than 20-year life cycle. But if they are, just go ahead and say they have another 25 years. So sliding panels, portable classrooms, electrical split boxes, and all of that. Splice boxes, roofing tile, cracks in the ceiling, walls that are about to fall down. The Department of Education has told this contractor to ignore the past activities where we've been paying them for going through each school and identifying the deficiencies or the deferred maintenance and those things that poses a threat to the children. And in turn, what has happened? Now, with this document, and this is in writing, folks, they're being told to ignore all of that and just give everything a 25-year life expectancy, when in fact it shouldn't even be installed. So there are some serious problems that, and I decided to go back and look at some of the political activities. And here's one posted, the HawaiiReporter.com. Governor releases $134 million for Hawaii schools. This was April 17th. And in this one, it says, Eva Elementary School, Oahu, $9,600,000. Construction and equipment for an 8-classroom building to meet growth and enrollment needs. The building will include 7 general education rooms, 1 computer lab, 1 faculty center, 2 utility closets, restrooms, and mechanical, electrical, and communications room. Can you believe that? Now, you're putting all of this on, but you're not taking these panels off, increasing the risk of danger or the threat that these things present. So this is absolutely, it's unacceptable. There need to be some questions, and we're going to be pursuing this in greater details, but I just thought I would share this in basic details here now, and I'll get in greater details. And here's one at McKinley High School in the same budget, now the same year, $997,000 for McKinley High School. Design and construction for various electrical work, upgrading electrical transformers and panels, telecommunication systems, electrical outlets, and data ports, and other related work to provide for current and future technology. You notice that word panel. So they're, it's shameful. They know that these things pose great risks and a threat to the population of children and the workers and the teachers that work there at these schools throughout the state. And they won't take any action, even though they're allocating money. And even this budget shows that. And then here's another one from March 4th, 2014. Governor releases another $65.6 million for public school improvement, including the $62 million released for DOE projects last week. My administration, quoting the governor, has now announced the release of more than $600 million for education improvement, Governor Abercrombie said. This is an investment in our keiki and our strengthening economy. Let me ask you, is that an investment in our keiki and our economy when we knowingly allow the conditions and we do not fix them? And we know that fires could start. We know that in some instances the children are exposed to asbestos. And yet these big fat cats get to do these beautiful press releases that they've allocated money and released funds. And yet behind the scene, DOE is canceling and contracts or putting contracts on hold or stopping them. Stopping them from performing the work that the money had been allocated for. And then, in turn, come along and tell the contractor to, if you continue the work, we want you to lie. And give these elements or these parts or things that are used, components, a life cycle that they have already expired and should not be used or should be removed. And remember, a lot of these schools were built a long time ago. And so there is a great danger. And those of you that, and I noticed that Ige is around, I'd like to know what he or anybody would do regarding this. You know, for example, I just found this to be curious, interesting. $475,000 in this budget of 2014, and remember, and $750,000 in 2013 was given to Kanoilani Elementary new portable classroom. So, this is where Ige's wife works. So, now looking at this, but again, they don't say where they're going to remove the panels. There are other issues. So, folks, you know, when we talked about air conditioners and all of that in schools in Maile and Nanakuli and other schools, you think that that was the big problem, and it is. But what is going on here now? And I'm going to be pursuing this, asking questions, and we have quite a bit of the answers, but we're going to ask the questions anyway and get back to you with this. But there is, I hope you can incorporate this in your decisions. All government bodies have been responsible for. You go back to Wahage, you go back to Cayetana, you go back to anybody with these panels, for example. They should have removed those panels immediately. And they did not. So imagine, we are absolutely, we're being tricked. And thank God there's some honest people out there. And you would be proud of them. And I can say to you, we say that the state workers are, and some of the teachers are in it for themselves. But I want to say right now that the teachers and the faculty that contacted me about this information, my hat's off to them, because they're truly, truly involved and concerned with the welfare of the children. And shame on any legislator that gives another nickel to DOE. Shame on DOE and its board for allowing this to develop and for us giving money to a company to assess the conditions of the school and then pull the plug and leaving things in doubt. They need to resolve this and go ahead. It's a reality that these things pose a risk to our children and their health. And so let's listen to what these politicians are saying, but let's watch what they're doing. And I think this new legislative body, whoever's in this, the governor, we should ask them to come clean on why was this stop work order issued? Why couldn't they have negotiated this side as a sidebar and continue on addressing the other failed activities or the issues that were deferred, the maintenance? What if a wall, while they're debating and discussing this, what if a wall collapsed on the children? Or what about asbestos? These children are being exposed. Roofs are leaking. Lead paint. All of these things. I'm told that in one situation, and I couldn't pin it down to what school or who it was, but I'm told, and I, this isn't gossip, I was giving a little detail, that an electric box that was in the sidewalk, the wiring was so poorly done and degraded that the wires, the electric power going through, was boiling the water. Imagine stepping on that as a child, and hundreds of children pass through there a day on the sidewalk in those schools. This is a reality. This isn't about politics, and every politician that have come along and talk about education and how they care, they're as guilty as sin. And I will tell you that I'm not going to let this one go. And the legislators for the 2013-14 gave a lot of money also. And so if you go and look at House Bill 1283, you can see what some of the legislators did with that. So having said all of that, I had a lot more, but I appreciate the caller calling in. And it's not about the fame. If I could do it and go out there and just have a shadow doing it, as long as the work got done. But the problem is they don't listen unless you point fingers, name names, and that's when they only respond. And that's when they go out and abandon the study that they claim they were studying ocean debris and clean it up overnight. Who ever heard of such thing? If I'm doing a test, I wouldn't care what you complain about. If it's a bona fide test, I'm going to stick to my guns. So the lies in the action. So we'll talk to you next week. Aloha, and thanks for listening in.
Who knows when, who knows where, but I'm strong, I'm strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy.
every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KW.